Welcome back to Soundtrack, and thanks for joining us for part two of this conversation. If you're just tuning in, be sure to go back and catch part one. We covered a lot of context that sets the stage for what's next. Now, let's dive back in.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Premera Blue Cross, a not-for-profit with a mission to make healthcare work better. As Washington's hometown health plan, Premera is dedicated to providing its members with access to high-quality healthcare that fits their needs. Through its commitment to supporting local initiatives and fostering innovation, Premera helps ensure we can continue bringing you the inspiring stories that drive the South Sound forward. Premera Blue Cross, always in your corner. Live1045.com is Tacoma's classic rock, featuring music, news, and views from the South Sound. Check out your new radio station. On your phone, go to live1045.com. Because this pathway allows for the diversification of the nursing workforce by giving students the opportunity to keep working while they're studying, how important was that equity lens in shaping the program? And why does it matter when it comes to patient outcomes?
So I'll go first.
Okay.
So for me, Premera's work on this came through a lens of how can we help rural areas? Green River's not rural.
We're not.
So at first, when the team came to me and said, okay, you know, we got this idea, you know, we've got these schools, you know, in Pasco, check, you know, outside of Wenatchee, check. And then they were like, and then Green River, I'm like, what? That's urban. Like, we're at least suburban, but urban, you know, like, what are you talking about here? And it was really my team saying, no, Kitty, this is about health equity, too. Like, don't get so focused on rural that you're not focused on the equity improvements it's going to make in these communities. So that was really the sales pitch to me, because I was just pushing so hard for my teams, you know, to be focused on other communities. And really, because of this program, Premera expanded the lens of grant giving in another program, also to the South Puget Sound area, that, you know, would have been focused on rural areas. But I was like, nope, like, we're looking at this through a health equity lens, and let's make those investments too. So it was formative in other grants too for us.
Yeah, and I think, like Kitty mentioned earlier, we know that outcomes are better when you are with a healthcare provider who looks like you, who's had the same experience as you, who's lived that journey the same as you have, or maybe not even the same, but has, you know, kind of walked alongside that journey. And so for us, it was really to make sure that we were intentional in who we admitted, so that we were preparing people to enter the workforce to really care for this diverse population. So one of the things that we did when we developed this program was we looked at a process called holistic admissions. We had already been doing this work in our LPN program, but we needed to scale it to a much larger version when we're thinking about BSN students. And so for us, holistic admissions is taking the holistic approach of, like, the totality of the human being. This is your lived experience. This is, you know, what you bring to the table. It's not just your GPA or how fast you did school or how many times you repeated a course. It's really about looking at who you are as an individual and what you want to bring to the future of healthcare. And so for us, holistic admissions really started that. And it worked out amazingly. I mean, our first cohort, 87% of the students were BIPOC. I think it was over 70% of them were first generation students. A large chunk of them were ELL. And so we know that we're going to put out nurses who are going to be representative of the community that they serve, whether that's here or whether they move on. The diversity in this country is amazing, and it's getting bigger and better. And so how do we take these students and help them, you know, how do we get nurses who represent what the future of this nation looks like? I think it was really important for us.
It's wonderful.
Kara, can you tell me about the systems that are in place for LPNs who are juggling, working, studying, caregiving responsibilities and making it all come together so that they can go through this program or comparable programs?
Yeah, I think when you're building a structure that supports an incumbent worker or somebody who has a family, like, we're really looking at what structural supports are in place to make a student successful. So it's hybrid learning, it's flexible learning, it's things like competency-based, especially with an LPN. They come to the table with so much experience. How do we validate that experience and then build upon it and move forward into advancing them as a, you know, a nurse and a practitioner within their community? Some of the other things are just looking at what are those, you know, my buzzword wraparound services that we can bring to the students. It's, you know, it's tutoring, it's academic advising. So all of our students, they're paired with a faculty advisor who meets with them quarterly just to check in and say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? Is there a barrier? How can I get you resources to help you? So those are some of the things that, you know, if there's somebody who's thinking about something like this, sustainability, like the biggest thing is going to be, how do you get those services to those students? Because everybody has something in life that happens and they're going to need to take a pause or they're going to need support. So how do we get that for them? That's not, you know, it's proactive. It's not reactive.
Mm-hmm. Katie, did you want to add? Sorry, I didn't make sure.
Probably not on that question.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
Yeah. Thanks.
To both of you, what lessons have you learned from this partnership that could inform future collaborations between private businesses and public institutions? And what do you think it would take to scale this program, whether it be in Washington or in other locations?
So maybe I'll go first.
Okay.
So I've had the distinct pleasure of talking about this program and some of our other programs in front of legislators, especially the leadership in both the House and Senate here at a state level. And I think it's important that we convey sometimes the relatively small amount of money that can make a really big difference. So Primera's grant was big, and a lot of businesses and governments struggling with budget shortfalls are going to find it hard to make big investments. But there are still small investments that can be made in the schools who already launched these programs, whether they be stipends for students, whether they be emergency funds for students who, you know, have the experiences that Kara mentioned, or whether it's supporting faculty expenses or clinical placements. Because really, employers, we want our workforce to show up, be healthy, and give us their all on the job. And healthcare can get in the way of that. It really is an investment in the livelihood of your business to make sure that you're developing a pipeline of healthcare providers that are dedicated to the work, are well educated for the work, and committed to the community. And what better way than sponsoring that?
Well, and I think one of the really important things that came out of this is that we, going into this, had a shared goal. It was, how do we fill this critical gap? And it's really easy when you have a partnership, when you come to the table both with a shared goal, and it's not, this is my priority, this is my priority, this is our priority. And so then we're looking at, how do we, you know, how do we get to this shared goal? And one of the things that I think about is, you know, the sustainability of funding. So it wasn't just, I don't want to think about this Primera thing as, you know, it wasn't a donation. This was an investment. It was an investment in human life and well-being, the future of healthcare as it stands. And it was built to be something that would be sustainable from the ground up. It included investments in student scholarships. It included investments in the support services that we brought on. Because of, you know, the money that was received, we were able to leverage things like our tutor. Did I hire them initially out of the grant? Yes, I did. But then I could leverage the success that that position had with students to be able to make it permanent. And so really looking at, you know, when I think about the sustainability or the scaling of a project like this, I think about, you know, the funding model and how it starts out and what you can build in from the ground up so that it is sustainable. The other thing I think about is just the flexibility. We live in a state that is very rigorous around how academia is delivered, around how healthcare is delivered. And so looking at, how do we create and innovate that isn't quite as, rigorous, for lack of a better word. How do we get creative with solutions that isn't so stuck on policy? So that's another one that I really think about as far as, like, how do we make this bigger and better?
I hope it does get bigger and better just because of all the impacts and positive outcomes that have already resulted from the partnership. Like, how could you not want it to thrive and be more successful and in scale?
Absolutely. And I think, so I, I have now grown to understand the nursing community writ large a little better. I think, you know, nurses come, you know, stereotypically, but from a caregiver perspective, they give of themselves. They need to learn how to better ask for what they need and fundraise better. They just don't have that skill set. So like when I think of academia and I think of like, oh, a business school at a college and a nursing school at a college, they go about their ways of fundraising very differently mm-hmm. because of their capabilities, their outlook on life, where they choose to spend their time. Mm-hmm. And so part of the sustainability work was about hoping that we would educate nursing leaders about how to put together a business case for a business, because they just don't typically do that. And so I hope that some of those things have continued to grow and mature, because that's a space where I think it can.
I hope so. Could you see Primera investing in other workforce development pipelines tied to community health or social determinants of health in the future?
Yeah, you know, we continue to invest at a much smaller scale, right? I mentioned the large tax refund we had. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But we have other ways of investing in our communities. We know how to lobby legislators. We have chambers of commerce that are our customers, right? So we have other pathways to help programs like this achieve success that may not be direct, you know, check writing from Primera, but we've got skill sets and capabilities for this. In fact, for this very program, we put together a vignette. It's not focused on Green River. It's focused on another academic institution, but it was meant to be used for funding discussions. Like, yeah, this is the LPN to BSN pathway. This is why we did it. And it had, you know, interviews of LPNs for the very purpose so that the schools could take that video and use it with future funders. So those are the types of things that, my scrappy teams, because we want to make healthcare more affordable, and it is not. So we're pretty scrappy with every dollar nowadays. But we're, figuring out ways to continue to help our community partners like that.
I love that. And, you know, Kara, as you think about the future, like, where do you see this program headed in the next 3 to 5 years? And is there a potential to expand it beyond its current campuses or specialties?
I think there absolutely is. So just even in our small school, we started with 16 students. The next year, just we heard the demand. We had a really big wait list. So we upped our enrollment to 32. We still have this sustained wait list. And so this year, actually in the winter, we're going to start offering a part-time version of this same program. Same idea, hybrid, very flexible scheduling, but in a 3-year delivery instead of a 2-year delivery. So for those students who really just need to kind of, take their time to work through this, they have an option now. But one of the really cool things about what Primera did is they provided the opportunity for the faculty who were involved in this work to be able to go forward and kind of share this information out with other schools. And so as a result, we have presented at multiple national conferences, and we've been able to share this really great work. And I know that I've been contacted by several schools who are now looking at, like, how do I take this model and implant it where I live with the shortage that I have, and how do I make this work for my community, which is amazing. I know that I've worked with at least 4 or 5 different schools across the nation who are now thinking, like, and this is a problem. It's a workforce shortage issue that we have. We have these LPNs who cannot progress, or there's limited options for them. So how do we take the workforce we already have and continue their development? And so we're getting to see these programs kind of take what this group did and really leverage it in their own communities. And the nice thing about this is that we had a shared curriculum model to begin with. And so I know that I have shared, curriculum models with people who have come to us and said, hey, I want to do something like this. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Here's our curriculum map. Let me know if you need help. But I really do think that this is the future of nursing. You know, we have to figure out a way to get innovative, because not everybody is going to be that high school graduate who gets their AADTA and then jumps right into nursing at a four-year school.
Some people are switching careers into nursing. I know I have someone in my household that's thinking about doing that too. So I'm always looking for ways to help them and push them towards their next step.
Great.
What's one piece of advice you'd give to those organizations, the ones that are coming to you and trying to implement this program in their region or with their community of health providers? Like, what piece of advice would you give them in order to be successful in a partnership like this?
I think the same thing as before, having a shared mission and vision, mm-hmm. and then working collaboratively towards that shared mission and vision. I think that is the biggest success that we had. I think the other thing is not doing it in a silo. Like, it was amazing. These four schools have the most amazing people. And we were all working towards this outcome of, how do we get these students to where they want to be? How do we get more bachelor's prepared nurses out into the workforce? How do we make them representative of the communities they're going to serve? And so knowing that everybody came together with a shared goal and we work towards that, I think that is what made this so successful.
The nursing leaders did it without Primera, right? I mean, they came with the idea. We made sure it was rigorous in structure. But what I loved about it was there was no competitiveness between the schools. Mm-mm. You know, it was like, wow, we have a shortage. We have plenty of people who want to progress in their careers. How do we make that happen? I think sometimes, you know, academic institutions can get in a rut where they believe they're competing against each mm-hmm. other, or have a particular viewpoint on one thing or another thing and aren't willing to collaborate enough. And this was just a great example of none of that, and to the betterment of all of those communities. And now that so much of that groundwork is done, especially in this state, mm-hmm. boy, I think other colleges can launch this program pretty expeditiously, whereas in another state, they're going to have to, you know, go through probably a lot, you know, more curriculum development and such, because they're dealing with other requirements potentially. But boy, all the hard work was done, right? So let's leverage it.
I think the other thing that I think about when I think about, you know, this model specifically is, you know, if this is something that somebody wants to do and they're thinking about this opportunity specifically, is really just to know your student population and be open to the idea of innovation, because nursing school does not have to be Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. So how do you take your population that you serve and figure out how to build programming that is responsive to their unique and individual needs?
I'm waving my fingers in the air like, I want this to happen.
Yeah.
If you had a magic wand, as I wave my fingers in the air, if you could wave a magic wand in the air and fix one thing about how we train, support, or advance nurses in this country, what would it be? What would you do with that wave?
I think for us, from the education sector, our biggest barrier is clinical placements. And I know that Kitty's talked a lot about this, but there is only so many clinical placements and there's only so many hospitals and, you know, there's a lot of nursing programs. And so how do we keep growing our nurses if we're kind of capped by the number of students we can put in a clinical placement? So thinking about, you know, how do we get innovative around clinical placements? How do we, you know, there's a lot of work that's happening now with simulation education. How do we use simulation better to help students meet the learning outcomes that, you know, they may get or may not get if, you know, clinicals are capped and we can't give them the hours that they need? I think as we start thinking about I had a thing and it's gone.
That's what editing's for.
I love that because I just literally blanked out.
I think that hospitals are under economic distress. Especially critical access hospitals and mm-hmm. such. Again, I think looking at the way clinical placements could be funded differently mm-hmm. might be, you know, an avenue of more exploration. Because they're taking nurses at times offline mm-hmm. to ensure that the students are getting, you know, the attention and education they need. And so that's really hard in an environment where revenue is shrinking. So again, it's, you know, let's think of innovative ways to allow for more of those placements. The other thing that our research showed, again, not in this program, but in other programs, is that once a hospital or a larger multi-specialty clinic has established their infrastructure for students, it is cheaper for them to maintain that over time than to start and stop, meaning to recreate that infrastructure when they have a gap in, you know, needing to fill it, costs them too much money. People get out of the rhythm of having students around. So it's also about having consistent throughput of students in those placements so that that infrastructure stays well-oiled. And again, that can be more of a challenge in rural areas where, you know, students might, you know, not, you know, desire to go there as much, but there might be other incentives to make sure that, you know, we keep that pipeline open.
Yeah, and I know the state has made a lot of investments, especially around like preceptorships. So now we're able to offer stipends to preceptors who want to work with nursing students, which was a huge barrier before. I mean, it's not amazing amounts of money or anything, but it's something that incentivizes getting students that clinical experience that they need. The other thing that if I had a magic wand, I would fix would be the faculty shortage. Faculty, it is really hard to compete with industry because, you know, they have a shortage and they have the ability to pay these amazing, you know, salaries and bonuses and things like that, that we just can't compete with in education. You know, when you're funded by the legislation and how much the legislation gives you, you're kind of capped out. And so we lose a lot of really amazing faculty because it's just, it's not always a livable wage to be a nursing faculty. Their hearts are in it and they're passionate about it, but at the end of the day, they have to feed their families. And so how do we make investments in nursing education, especially around the structures and supports of nursing education, so that we can make this something that is sustainable? Because the other hard part is, if you have all of this faculty turnover, we can't take more students, we can't admit students, we're always training someone how to do something. And like, you see the gaps in the students when you're constantly having that turnover. So how do we support the infrastructure itself?
Absolutely. If there is one thing that you would want someone to take away from this conversation and apply to their next, you know, that's what I'm looking for, blanking. If you want to, it happens to me too. It's me. If there's what's one thing you would want someone to take away from this conversation and apply it to the healthcare industry or to their next public-private partnership beyond being, you know, shared goals, shared mission, shared vision?
I think that, you know, when you have a, you know, public-private partnership that isn't involving government right off the bat. I mean, it is because the schools are funded by the government, but not directly government agencies. I think having more robust strategic planning sessions about how sustainability will be approached, mm-hmm. you know, at the time, I was just like, make sure it's sustainable, you know, and there wasn't like a lot of help, I don't think, maybe from my team. But now, you know, 5 years later, I think that upfront planning and help will have more rewarding results. So I think that's the one area I would focus on more. Mm.
I agree. I think it's about sustainability because you're not just thinking about the launch of the program. You're thinking about the progression of the student through the program as they get out into the workforce. You know, one of the things that I would love to see is even us start to look at what is the pre-nursing supports that are needed to get a student through those prerequisite courses before they ever enter a nursing program, because we know we lose a lot of students to the prerequisite coursework. And part of this grant really, you know, supported that DTA, which is the direct transfer agreement, which allows students to seamlessly progress. But if they can't even make it through the prereqs because life happens and we don't have flexibility in those, we're never going to get to the point where we, you know, everybody who wants to be a nurse becomes a nurse. So how do we build in supports that start from the very beginning and follow the student through completely?
Well, nurses are truly the heartbeat of America and healthcare. And today's conversation showed us that when business and education align around a shared mission, they can change not only career paths, but entire communities. Huge thank you to you both, Kitty Kramer from Primera and Dr. Kara LaValle from Greenover College, for sharing the story behind this powerful partnership. We hope that other organizations look to it for inspiration. Its success is more than just a new pathway for nursing degrees. It's a model for how private investment can support public good, strengthen communities, and improve our common ties. To learn more about the LPN to BSN program or Primera's community investments, please visit primera.com. And if you like this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who cares about healthcare, workforce development, and the future of education. Until next time, stay connected, stay inspired.
Thank you to our listeners for listening to Soundtrack, where we explore the heartbeat of the South Sound. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion, and if so, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Keep tuning in for more insightful conversations that keep you on the right track with all the movers and shakers who are helping to shape our region.